You know, if we knew all this stuff, Peggy, we'd be in good shape, huh? But Mike's not on it.
There's Mike.
The flange is, well, now this may not be plumb either. Okay. Is it in here?
Well, not me, but it's right hand side.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to welcome everyone here this morning to Jenkins Church. Hope everyone had a wonderful and blessed Thanksgiving. Glad you could make it out on this. Glad we were all able to get up and make it out on this morning after eating so much. But we are blessed to be able to come and worship as we see fit on Sunday morning. For that, I am very thankful. Announcements. There are many in the bulletin, so, excuse me, if you could make note, read those. The only other one is Next Sunday is the elder nomination. Larry, do you need to say anything about that?
The names are listed in the bulletin. We will officially place them in nomination next week. People from the congregation are invited to make additional nominations if they see fit. If they have the permission of the person they're nominating, and then on the second Sunday, we will proceed with the election.
Okay. Also, next Sunday is all the meetings for the committees and things. Please make note of that. Steve? The 3rd of December, which is next Saturday. Okay. Are there any other announcements? Sonia? Are there others? If not, like I said, please look in your bulletin and read up all on the announcements that are in the bulletin. Prayer requests. Do we have any prayer requests? Yes.
My uncle, Joe Brown, early 80s and fell and broke his hip. He's just recently put his wife, I think she might still be on our list, Emily Brown, into living or an Alzheimer's unit. And so there's a lot of depression, a lot of responsibility on the daughter to take care of them. He's just recovering from cancer. So the Brown family.
Okay. I'd like to add, as there is one of my neighbors, his name is Thomas Curran. His father teaches at Ravenwood. He is going in tomorrow for heart surgery. He's in seventh grade, and they discovered this when he had a concussion. So it's not open heart, but it's something that they have found that they are going to correct. So we need to lift the Curran family up in our prayers. Are they? Okay. Are there others? To pray for Savetta's mother, Nina. Are there others? If not, please bow your heads for a moment of silence, please. Amen. We begin our worship service this morning with our call to worship. It is page 122 in your hymnal. And it is response. Who shall come in the fullness of time to gladden the hearts of men? Who shall bring new joy to the world and the poor and the lonely defend? Who shall come on a cold winter's night when the world is hushed and still? Only the silent stars keep watch as a promise is fulfilled. Just as a child newly born, he shall come to a stable rough with sod. 'Tis gentle Jesus, Prince of Peace, the blessed Son of God. We await him with reverent hearts. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, come.
If you would turn in your hymnal to 72, we will glorify. Let's all stand and we will sing 1, 2, and 4.
Lord God, we want to worship you in truth and in spirit, and sometimes we stumble. But you know our hearts. You know our desire. You accept our offering of ourselves. Thank you for it, Lord. Bless us in all of this gathering, every individual, every aspect, every word that is spoken, every thought that is thought. Lord, we come to prepare for the celebration of the birth of your Son, Jesus. A birthday celebration. But Lord, we know that there's another event, there's another coming when Jesus will come again. Come to claim those who know Jesus and love Him and trust Him and serve Him. And help us in that preparation. Speak to us through your word. And enable us to speak to one another, but also to the world around us. In Jesus' holy name we pray, even praying as He taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
We express our faith in God this morning by the statement of faith, which is the Apostles' Creed. It is page 716 in your hymnal, or you can look on the wall. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
457. I will sing of the mercies. And just so we stay together on this one and I don't mess you up, you're going to sing through the first line and part of the second line, then go back to the first line, come back down to the second line, second ending, and go all the way through it. Let's see if we can get this right.
Okay, then we come back and repeat stuff.
Yeah, come back to the top again.
Here's what we say.
Love. This is our sing a new song, so I'm going to let ask Melanie to play through that once, please.
To the part of our service where we confess our sin. The call to confession today comes from the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 19. God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: the Lord knows those who are His, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. Now in unison with me. Father, in Jesus Christ, you call us to be a servant people, but we do not do what you command. We are often silent when we should speak, and listless when we could be useful. We are lazy servants, timid and heartless, who turn neighbors away from your love. Have mercy on us, O God, and though we do not deserve your care,
Forgive us
and free us from sin. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we could just take a moment of silence for confession. Amen. Now that we have prayed our prayer of confession to God, He gives us an assurance of forgiveness which says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness.
said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will have the light of life and will never walk in darkness. The candle reminds us of the promise of the prophets that a Messiah will come, bringing peace and love to the world.
The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. They live in a land of shadows, but now light is shining among them.
Bow our heads. I trust in God and will not be afraid. I praise Him for what He has done.
We express our thanks to God by the giving of our tithes and offerings. Offertory sentence today comes from Chronicles chapter 29, verse 14. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. Would our ushers come forward at this time?
Turning your hymnal to 280, I love thy kingdom, Lord. And let's just do all of these. This is a fairly quick one.
Thank you.
this morning will be read by Heather Schuler.
This scripture is from Mark chapter 13, verses 24 through 37. But in those days, follow that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see those things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone. Watch. The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God. Being the first Sunday in Advent, I call your attention to a little devotional book, a special book. We have the Daily Bread that we provide year-round, but I picked up about 25 copies of a calendar of devotions for this season, and you may use them in the place of or in addition to your daily devotional if you are following the Daily Bread. Written by Nell Mahoney, and it's always, I haven't read all of this one, but every year these are very good. Very good. So if you need more, we'll have them next week also if we run out. I'd like to call your attention to one word, is the word being watch. Watch. How many times did we see the word watch in that scripture lesson? Three right there together at least. Have you ever heard anybody use the phrase, this too shall pass? I use it often when something bad is going on. I'll say to someone, if they're experiencing the badness or the frustrating, incidentally, I didn't make an outline for the message today, and I'll be back to that, doing that next Sunday. But we needed the bulletin ready by Wednesday, and I wasn't quite ready with an outline at that time. And so we'll be back with the outline next Sunday. Or I've been calling them sermon notes also. This too shall pass. Somebody might have thought that the outlines, the time of the outline had passed, or the sermon notes being supplied. This too shall pass. You think about some good things. We'll be having a good experience. And I have been accused, and not wrongly so maybe rightly so, if that's the opposite of not wrongly, is being a stick in the mud or always looking for the bad side of things. So people will be just rejoicing and having a good time, and I'll slip up by somebody and I'll say, this too shall pass. Or it won't last. You may have heard me say that this too shall pass in a bad time or in a good time. Times do not remain as they are. They're always changing. Today, consider this earth. This big old earth that we live on. And folks, this too shall pass. Am I stuck in the mud? Maybe so. But it's a warning. This too shall pass. The Creator of this says it's so. The earth that we live on will not last forever. We think it will. We've been here a long time in our mind. But the way we count time is a little confusing, a little different than the way God counts time. One day, this earth is going to come to a big end, or a little end. Will it explode, the shaking of the heavens and the earth? I wonder this morning, does the thought that this earth is coming to an end, does that bother you? Are you bothered by that thought? That one day, it'll all be over. Everything that we worked for will just be gone. I guess people on the coast, Mississippi, Louisiana, can really understand a little bit about that. They had worked so hard for years and years and years, and then in one, almost a blinking of an eye, it was all gone. 1928, the stock market failed. People had worked and worked and worked. And then, one day, all of their treasures were gone. People are healthy and well. And one day, something happens. Heart attack, car wreck, or something of that nature. And a life is all gone. One day. As frustrating as it may be, as much as we don't want to hear about it, one day this earth will be gone. Does it distress you? Does it excite you? Does it bother you? People have been looking for the end of the world, or the end of the earth to come to a blazing end for a long time. They've argued on it, over it, how it's going to happen. They've argued whether it will happen or not. But they've anticipated it and discussed it as far back as at least the time of Christ and possibly before then. Christians in the first century believed that this world would come to an end before some of them died. Before the end of the first century. They believed that Jesus had talked enough about it, that He was going to heaven and get everything ready real quick and come back to earth and claim His faithful followers and take them to an eternity in heaven. That was, and it still is, referred to as the second advent. The first being the coming of Jesus as a babe. The second coming of Jesus into the world. But 2,000 years have passed. And He still hasn't made it. Did He tell an untruth? Has He failed to fulfill His promise? When will it happen? Should we still expect Him to keep this promise? And my answer is, without a doubt. Without a doubt. There are too many promises or predictions made in the Scriptures that were fulfilled, though people doubted that they would happen, for us not to believe that Jesus is going to keep this promise. Part of the 13th chapter of Mark is about the second coming of Jesus. But part of it is about the destruction of Jerusalem. And when Jesus would walk around and say, it's all going to be torn down one day, not a stone left upon a stone, the people of Jerusalem thought, oh, it can't happen. He was talking here to Peter, James, and John. Was Andrew there with them? The names are listed there. I don't remember the details, all of them. I think that was the four. Those four were with Him. They asked Him about when would these things happen. And part of this lesson, this chapter, is about the destruction of Jerusalem. Part of it is about His second coming, the destruction or the end of the earth, at least the end of it as we know it. Did the destruction of Jerusalem come? It sure did. 70 AD. 70 AD. It came. Just as He had said. And the Bible teaches us that Jesus will return for His people. When? And why hasn't He come already? Well, Peter wrote to a group of Christians that were concerned about this, and he said it's giving more opportunity, or more people an opportunity to repent and to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. And that's where Peter says Jesus and God doesn't count time. They don't count time like we do. That's where we find the verse that about 1,000 years is like a day, and a day like 1,000 years. 2 Peter 3, verse 8 and following. But the Bible does teach, I repeat, that Jesus will return. Jesus taught it. Red letters, as I often refer to, if you have a red letter edition, the Apostle Peter taught it, wrote it. In his writing, the Apostle Paul goes to great length in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. On and on. He gives details, various aspects of the resurrection and Jesus calling us home. Also, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. If you attend the funeral that I conduct, or at least the burial part, I will probably read that passage. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Talks about Jesus coming on a cloud, coming in the air, calling the dead in Christ from the grave. And then we who are alive and remain will be called up after they are called up, the dead in Christ. Meet Him in the air, so we shall ever be with the Lord. That just tells about Jesus coming back to call His faithful home. But in this chapter, Jesus taught about the end of the earth, at least as we know it. Time in this earth. What is time in this earth? What is time in this world? What are we doing here? What's the purpose of our life? Well, the main purpose, that is to get an education and earn a good living. Well, not quite. That's a purpose of it, though. We use it. And that is needed for this world. But time in this world, time on earth, is time to get ready for the next. To make ready. Bible teaches that this world is only temporary. Our existence here on this earth is only temporary. The one in heaven, or the one after this one, the one that Jesus calls us to, is eternal. How long is eternal? It's eternal. It's forever. No ending. And although the earth has continued longer than many expected, our time on earth is so short. What's the oldest person that you've ever known? The person that's lived on earth. And if Jesus doesn't come to get us all, doesn't come on that cloud to get us all at one time, that Paul wrote about in 1 Thessalonians, He comes one at a time, or five or six at a time, and calls us home. Now, what's the oldest person that you have ever known? You read in the paper about them being over 100. They have a celebration for them. I visited my mom yesterday and the day before. She'll be 92 on the 5th of December. She's one of the oldest persons that I have been involved with, especially in our family.
My grandmother on my dad's side lived to be 89. And what's the oldest person? The oldest person that you've ever known? The person that lived the longest? Was it 100 years? Do you know anybody that lived 100 years old personally? Personally involved with them. Okay. Do you know anybody that's lived 110 years? So we can cut it off. Steve does. Okay. Okay. 105. Okay. Didn't get the signal. He's holding up five fingers. 105. So you, anybody know, anybody else know anybody that's lived 105 years? No one knows anybody that's lived 120 years. What's the oldest person ever recorded? We're not sure that they counted time then like we do either. 900, what was his name? The oldest person in the Bible. What was his age? I believe it was. I didn't go back and check that one just for the detail, but if me and you both remember that, that's close anyway. 969. But the earth has lasted twice that long since Jesus promised that it would come to an end. Kind of go out in a big bang or a ball of fire or something like that. Okay. But it's temporary. Even 969 is temporary, right? It's not forever. It's a long time, longer than this country has been here. God's Word. Jesus is teaching, the words of Jesus, teach us how to live in this world so that we can make it to the next world with Jesus, not with his archenemy, Satan. Look at the passage. Verse 34, there's two parables here. One's a parable of fig tree, real short parable, isn't it? And then there's a parable in verse 34, a parable of an owner of a house. A householder. An illustration. That's what this parable is. It's illustration to describe what it's going to be like. It's like a man going away. And he leaves his house and puts his servants in charge. We have a lot of that in Jesus' parables, don't we? We have servants and household owners, house owners, landowners. And each, notice this, each with his task to do, or each with his assigned task. It's like a man going away, he leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, and everybody's got something to do. Does that say anything about the church? Everybody's got something to do, has an opportunity to do something, even a calling, if you will. Spiritual gifts. We've been teaching about the spiritual gifts since way back last spring. Still talking about them on Wednesday night in a small group. You're welcome. Make it a larger group. Finding our spiritual gifts. Finding what we can do that God has blessed us with a special ability to do in His kingdom for the building up of His church. Everyone is left here with an assigned task. And he tells them what to do. What does he tell them to do? To keep watch. Watch. Everybody likes to watch. We like to have a watch. Had one friend that wouldn't carry a watch. He said, if you had a watch, people always bothered him asking what time it was. And then he said, if you need to know the time, he could just ask somebody else. He could bother somebody else. He died young. I don't know if somebody got mad at him or he couldn't find out the time and drove him to his death. Probably not. Watch. That's where we are today. We're watching, are we not? Or are we just waiting? Or do we ever think about it? Well, if you're here this morning, if you have not tuned me out totally, you have thought about Jesus coming back. Again, you talking about that second advent. Are we waiting and watching? Some don't like to wait and some don't like to watch. I'm one of the worst ones. There was a little girl, a teenage girl, who had a date. And the guy promised to be there at 7 o'clock. Well, she got all, we call it all dolled up. She made herself extra beautiful and extra attractive. She had her hair fixed. She had on her best dress. She had on her perfume and her rouge and lipstick and all that makeup. She was ready. 7 o'clock came, he didn't make it. 8 o'clock came and he still wasn't there. She got frustrated. She did not like to wait. She had been stood up. She was mad as she could be. She goes in. She rolls her hair for the next day. She puts on her pajamas. She gets her bowl of junk food out of the cupboard in the refrigerator. She gets her dog and she goes down and sits down in front of the television to watch television. She didn't like to wait, did she? She was really put out. But you know what he did? 9 o'clock, he showed up, knocked on the door. She went to the door, and there she stood in her bedclothes. Basically, he said, "What? 2 hours late? You're still not ready?" He didn't know what kind of trouble he was in, did he? Jesus said, "Don't let my return sneak up on you. Don't let my return catch you off guard. Don't let my return catch you not ready. Don't let my return catch you with your guard down." The call is to be ready at all times. The task. What are the tasks? The call is to be busy with the task that we've been given until He gets here, to do until He gets here. The man in the parable, we pointed out, left each person with an assigned task. What is your task? Is it evangelism, reaching out to new people with the gospel, people that don't know Jesus? What's your gift? Is it teaching those who have trusted Jesus how to live for Him or how to better prepare? Or is it being a helper, helping someone else? Or is it making someone else's life a little easier on this earth as they wait? Is it bringing a cup of cold water to somebody that can't get it themselves? The Thessalonians became idle. They just going to wait till Jesus got there. So they just waited and waited. And we call it thumb twiddling. That's what I call it. They sit down and say, "Well, Jesus is going to come soon, and let's sit down and rest and wait. Don't do anything." Paul wrote them a letter and straightened them out pretty quick. Get busy, folks. If you don't eat, if you don't work, you don't eat. Until the very end, there is work to do in God's kingdom. Evangelism, service, helps, preaching, teaching, just to name a few. Watch and pray. Will you read with me verse 26 and 27? Just turn there. "At that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory." Acts chapter 1 tells about Jesus ascending, and the disciples were standing looking up, gazing. Still sky gazing. The angel told them, "Don't stand here gazing. Go back to town and wait till He blesses you with the Holy Spirit. Then when you're blessed with the Holy Spirit, use those gifts that that Spirit brings to you for the gathering in of additional people." And here Jesus is saying that He's going to come on a cloud or in clouds. And then He will send His angels to gather His elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heaven, from everywhere. As to the time of Christ's second advent, we need not inquire. Just be ready. Jesus said that even He did not know, and there's a big argument goes on in theological circles. Is there anything that Jesus did not know? Well, as God, He knew everything. But He was limited. He limited Himself, so it appears. Because if He had known what time it was, people would have kept on saying, "Tell us. You've got to tell us. You've got to tell us. You know, they just wanted to know, would want to know, wouldn't they? Tell me, tell me. I won't tell anybody. Tell me, tell me. So he just said, I don't know. Jesus didn't know, the human Jesus. He knew everything else as we know it. He knew everything else. People have tried to calculate the time of His coming. William Miller was one of them. Back in the 1800s, I think it was 1841, he had set a date. It didn't happen. He had set another date. He said he miscalculated. It didn't happen. He had set another date. It didn't happen. And he had set another date. But out of that grew an entire denomination. William Miller, and it was the Adventist. We call them the Seventh-day Adventist. Story about a little girl. Would you hear that? A little girl, a student. She had the messiest desk in the classroom. But one day, an official from the school came to class and looked around, and he said, children, I'm coming back. I'm coming back one day, and the person who has the cleanest desk when I get back, I'm going to bring a prize. Didn't matter what the prize was, fifth graders or fourth graders, they just want the prize, you know. So, this little girl announced, the messy desk little girl, she announced, I'm going to win that prize. Her fellow students laughed at her. They said, you can't win that prize. Said, your desk is always a mess. You know, there's some people like that. All around their desk, in their desk, everything's always a mess. They said, they laughed at her. The teacher thought she was being funny too. And she said, starting right now, I'm going to clean up my desk the first of every week. So they asked her the question, just suppose he comes at the end of the week. And then she says, well, I'm going to clean up my desk every morning. The beginning of every day, I'm going to clean up my desk. So they asked her another question, well, what if he comes in the afternoon? Mary was silent for a while. Then her face straightened up. And she said with much determination, I know what I'll do. I'll just keep my desk clean all the time. A good lesson for us as we wait for Jesus to come. Be ready. If He comes at noon, if He comes early in the morning, if He comes at the fourth watch of the night, the darkest part of the night, just be ready. When He comes, when He comes. I like this song. It's a Charles Gabriel song. When all my labors and trials are o'er, and I'm safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me. Gabriel was singing about when Jesus had already come. We're going to turn in our hymnals to 124, and this is a longing song. A song of longing and requesting and asking and inviting. We're going to sing verse 1, if you'll stand with me. It's Come, Thou Long Expected Jesus. Let's think about that. Let's invite Him. Let's determine that we're going to be ready when He comes. 124.
To think that you're going to come and all of this will come to an end. And we put
so much into life here on earth. But Lord, we know that you have for us a greater place, a place, an existence, an experience that far supersedes anything that we could experience here. Thank you for that hope. Lord, help us. Help us. Because we are not able to do it of our own strength. Help us to remain ready as we wait and watch. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.